Welcome to the Mosaic Church Podcast, where we share with you the message of hope and love that lies at the core of the Christian faith. Our weekly sermons delve into the teachings of the Bible and how they can impact our daily lives, inspiring us to journey together towards a deeper understanding of God's infinite love. Join our community of believers as we embrace the power of faith and embark on a transformative spiritual journey. Mosaic Church in Mableton, Georgia exists to lead people to an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ to help them change the world. Now, please enjoy this message from Pastor Broderick Santiago, lead pastor of Mosaic Church.
Navigating these things. My mic on? Thank you. Welcome to those who are here with us for the first time today. I am Pastor Beat. I'm the lead servant here at Mosaic Church, this community, this incredible community of believers. So glad that you're here with us, those who are in the sanctuary and those who are at our Mosaic Global Campus. We thank you. We know that you have tons. And I literally mean, if you're in Atlanta, you are in the Bible Belt, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. If you are in Atlanta, and there are a gazillion options on where you could worship, but the fact that you decided to hang out with us here in this place, it means the world to us. Same thing for those who are online at our Mosaic Global Campus, especially you. You have more than a million options on where you could stream to watch service today, but the fact that you're hanging out with us at our Mosaic Global Campus, listen, that means the world to me. And so we thank you. At Mosaic Church, we exist for one reason and one reason alone. And that's to lead people to an authentic relationship with Christ, to help them change the world. That's why we're here. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here to just have a social club. We are here to make people's lives different, to help them change the world. That's why we exist. We want people to know Christ at a very, on a very intimate and personal level. So on behalf of myself and my beautiful bride, Dr. Erica Santiago, and our entire pastoral team, we welcome you today. We welcome you online. We welcome you in the sanctuary. I won't belabor this. I want to jump right into it. One thing about me, and I share this with our leadership team, and they know this, I actually, believe it or not, I actually plan my sermon a year in advance. Like, I pray beginning around November. Like, I really press into God. Around about November, it's like, okay, God, what are we doing next year? What do you want me to focus on? Where are we going, right? Then December, I begin to start creating like a little map, right? God gives me an idea for the entire year, and then in December, I start creating the map to get you all, to get us all, where I believe God is trying to lead us. God laid this on my heart, this particular series entitled Mastering Mountains. As a matter of fact, I had planned to do it last month. Last month, this was going to be that series, but God shifted it on me, and we did We Are the Church, because I felt that that's what God wanted to happen. So We Are the Church was supposed to happen this month, but it happened last month, and I think the timing was perfect. But this particular series, when God put this on my heart, I had just put it in my map, and then all of a sudden, 2023 happened, and I will tell you, the first 6 months of 2023, I've done more. I did more funerals in that 6 month time period than I had done in the past 8 years combined. More people experience depression than normal. And here's the thing, and I've shared this with you all before, pastors, therapists, counselors, we all have this thing that we all suffer through. And it's called vicarious traumatization. And what vicarious traumatization is when you are counseling people or you're helping people through trauma, your body or your mind doesn't realize that the trauma that you're speaking with somebody else about is not your trauma. So if you speak with a bunch of people over a certain point of time, guess what? Your body thinks that all of the trauma that you've been helping other people navigate, your body thinks it's yours, and you become depressed. You have to be aware of that. You have to be cognizant of that. Well, I won't lie. Those first 6 months, the boy was experiencing some of that. And so my sabbatical couldn't have come at a better time, because my sabbatical came in the sixth month of this year. And as I was thinking about this particular series, it's like, God, now I know why you wanted me to do that. Because there are so many people that are dealing with mountains. But then, after I came from sabbatical, God helped me see a mountain in a different way. Not every mountain is an obstacle. Some mountains are opportunities. For these next 4 weeks, I want to help you master both. I want to help you master the mountains that are before you that may present themselves as obstacles, but I also want to help you master those mountains that are before you that are opportunities. Because here's the thing, if you don't have the right mindset for opportunities, you'll think an opportunity is an obstacle. When actually, it's something that's supposed to bless you, that's something to promote you, it's something that's supposed to move you further ahead in life. I want to help you master that. There are four different ways that we view mountains. Okay? There are four different ways that we view mountains. We, think about it, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. We, from our purview, our human perspective, we view mountains, number one, as problems. We see a mountain or we hear a mountain. There's an illustration that pops in our mind like a mountain is a problem. And the thing is, problems are things that are meant to be solved. We also see mountains sometimes as goals. Like there are some people who will see a mountain and say, you know what? I want to climb that mountain one day. I've got something to prove to myself. There are people who plan and literally spend a whole lot of money and train fervently and train intentionally and prepare to climb things like Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Everest. They plan to climb these mountains, literally. Like they want to climb these mountains and literally risk their life because they want to prove something. They want to achieve something. Then there are those of us who look at mountains and we see challenges. I know some of y'all looking at me like, wait. You said problems. Aren't problems and challenges the same? No. Problems are things you solve. Challenges are things you get through. Problems are things you solve. Challenges are things you get through. And some of us see a mountain and we say, like, there's this mountain in front of me. Either I've got to go over it or it's got to get out of my way. But there is a challenge. There's something that I'm going through. There's something that I'm being challenged with. And it's not a problem-solving thing. It's something that I've got to do myself physically. Here's my favorite view of a mountain. Some of us, and I think all of us at some point, will see a mountain as an escape, as a retreat from people or from things. You know, in the Bible, Jesus spoke a lot about mountains, but Jesus was very intimate with mountains. We read the Bible, we can see where Jesus often would go away to the mountain. And I will say this, the greatest sermon ever preached in the history of mankind happened on a mountain. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Recently, as you all may know, I was away on business, and I was in the mountains of North Carolina. I was in a place called Marion, North Carolina, and then I went over to Boone, North Carolina. Very big mountain places. And I was just sitting there as before I got up here, just looking just for a moment for some inspiration. So I went to the pictures that I took of those mountains. Yes, while I was driving, don't judge me. Y'all do the same thing. Some of y'all be doing selfies while you're driving. Some of y'all be recording yourself. But I just couldn't, I didn't want to stop where the mountains were. Let me just say that. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel safe. I saw certain signs and certain flags. So I said, I'm going to keep it moving, but I'm going to get these pictures. Amen, somebody. And I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm marveled because I remembered I told my wife, I was on the phone with her, and I said, baby, it's almost like God took a canvas and he painted this beautiful landscape. I said, it's almost like the brother with the afro, one of his paintings. You know what I'm talking about, the light-skinned brother. Bob Ross, thank you. I couldn't remember his name. It's almost it's like God painted these beautiful landscapes, and I didn't plan it well. I wanted to put some of the pictures up, but maybe next week. It was so beautiful, and I said, and so peaceful. And here's the thing. If y'all are on my prayer, this week was challenging because the devil was busy. Like, he was trying to be such a distraction. There were so many wins that happened this week, but he was so intentional trying to distract us from the win, the victories. And so I'm driving from Marion to Boone. I get to Boone, which is about an hour and 10 minutes away from Marion. I get there, and I'm settled in my hotel room, and I'm like, okay, let me start unpacking. I like to set everything up. I start unpacking, and I said, where's my laptop? I'm missing my laptop. I am missing my laptop. I'm frustrated. I'm agitated. So dawned on me. I left it in the conference room at the place I was before, plugged up, and they were gone for the day. Couldn't get any work done. Now I'm frustrated. Then my business partner, he has this incredible brand new electric Ford truck, and it wouldn't start. It just, like, I quit. So I'm frustrated because I left my computer. Then there were some other issues I had with my auto insurance. It was like a bunch of attacks. So my partner was like, you know what? You work on what you got to work on. I'm going to go get food. He goes to try to get food. He comes back up and throws his keys. I said, yo, what's up? He said, truck won't start. That's a brand new truck. He said, I don't know what's going on. So we both go out there, and the lights are just flickering. Like, for no reason. They're just, like, flickering and flashing, and people are walking by looking at his truck. There were so many attacks. But then we both realized we're under an attack. So though I was mad that I had to go back an hour, get my computer the next day, as I was driving, I began to thank God. I was like, wow, God, you give me another opportunity to look at your beautiful landscape again. I was mad, but as I was driving back, I get another opportunity to enjoy this beautiful, picturesque moment with God. I get to enjoy what I know man's hand did not touch, something God created. And I begin to praise him while I'm listening to my worship music. And I'm like, you know what? It's not all bad. I know this is a distraction. I know the tricks of the enemy. And for a minute, he had me thinking. He had me thinking that it was a terrible thing. And by the way, the meetings that we had became incredible. Now watch what happens when you begin to give God the glory in the midst of your moments that seem, you know, messed up or jacked up. Right down the street from our hotel was a Ford dealership. Was literally a Ford dealership that came, towed my friend's truck to the place, and was willing to give him a loaner free of charge. The hotel gave us an extended free late checkout up to 2 o'clock so that we could still work and do what we needed to do and not have to rush out. And then in the end, the client that we went to pitch our services to, said they wanted to do business. Y'all ready for the cherry on the cake? Because I wasn't done. I was almost done. And I discovered about 1 hour and 30 minutes away from where I was my heart, my baby girl. And I was able to meet her. Thursday is her busiest day. She has the most classes on Thursday. But she had time enough to have lunch with her dad. I hadn't seen my baby in almost a month. So to go visit my daughter on campus and then take her to lunch and just catch up and just see her in her zone. I was like, man, God, you are amazing. Thank you for allowing me to remember these mountains. And see, what I thought was a mountain of an issue because I left my laptop in the mountains became a mountain of remembrance, a mountain of opportunity. I had an opportunity in the midst of that moment to visit my baby girl, and life has been good ever since. We want to talk to you today about dealing with mountains that look like problems. I want to leave you with this today. It's going to be short. I want to help you with mountains that look like problems. I want to jumpstart this series and scale the mountain of problems. On May 29th, 1953, mountaineer and explorer Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa mountaineer Tenzing Norgay became the first people ever recorded to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the highest point to date on Earth, standing at 29,028 feet. After battling fierce and ravenous winds and extremely icy conditions and the loss of support from team members due to failed oxygen systems, Hillary meets the peak of Mount Everest on May 29, 1953. And he is quoted as saying this: after all of the challenges he faced climbing this mountain, after all of the life-risking moments he had, after losing support from his team, he and Tenzing hit that mountaintop. And after all of that, this is what this man said. He said, it's not the mountain we conquer, but it's ourselves. I'm like, bro, you could have died. Like, if I'm on the mountain, I'm like, look what I did. I beat this mountain. I ain't even thinking about what I've conquered in me. I'm like, look at what I did. He says, no, it's not the mountain we conquer. It's ourselves. When we reach the summit of our mountaintop, it's not the issue you've conquered. It's you that you've conquered. There's something innately in you when you've overcome something that helps you realize, you know what? I'm stronger than I thought I was. I'm wiser than I thought I was. I'm better off than I thought I was. I have more access than I thought I had. I am better than I thought that I was before. I am okay. It's not the mountain we conquer, but it's ourselves. And here it is. Do you know how much mental strength you've got to have to climb up that mountain? Let me tell you. Some of y'all, before you go to the store, like you plan to go to the store, go outside, and if it's just a little bit of rain, you change your mind. Some of y'all, you decide to go out for a walk. Oh, I'm going to go walking today. And you go outside and you feel a little bit of wind. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. The mental fortitude it took when his hands were frostbitten. The mental fortitude it took where his boots, as I was reading part of his autobiography, his boots were frozen solid. He had to put them in front of the campfire for 20 minutes. Let me put that in perspective. That means he's got 20 minutes where he's got nothing on his feet. I'm like, yo, I quit. I'm waving a white flag. Listen, I don't need to go down as somebody who climbed this mountain. Forget that. Not brother, man. Not Tenzing. These two said, whatever it takes, we're gonna make history. We're going to reach this summit because there are some who tried before us and they didn't do it. I'm going to do it. And that's the same kind of mental fortitude that you must have when you are dealing with problems. The thing is, here's the truth of the matter. Many of us have problems, and what do we want to do? We want to hide. We want to ignore them. We let stuff stack up before we address it. I'd rather not look at these issues because these are problems that's going to require a certain amount of my brain power. And you know what? I just don't have the energy to deal with that right now. I just don't have the energy to deal with you right now. I just don't have the energy to deal with them right now. And so don't show me that. I would rather ignore the problem, though I know it's there. Dealing with problems requires a certain level of mental fortitude and commitment. I will say this about problems. We all have problems, but we cannot let our problems have us. We all, now my problem may not be your problem, Craig. And Jason, your problem may not be my problem. And Sharday, your problem may not be Erica's problem. But the truth of the matter is we all have problems. Every day we wake up, there's something we have to solve. Some of y'all, it's as simple as, what am I going to cook for dinner? Is that not a problem you have to solve? I know it is, because some of y'all be standing in the refrigerator like this.
We had chicken already this week. I don't want no more chicken. You,
what you want? That's a problem you have to solve. And before you know it, y'all just eating peanut butter and jelly because nobody wanted to cook. You know, we just going to do some ramen noodles. Here's a bigger problem when it comes to meals. We just eat out, but you know it's not in your budget. So now you just created a bigger problem. Every one of us has a problem. Some of y'all are like battling right now the problem of do I go to work? And here's the other thing. Some of y'all have problems you have to solve at your workplace. Some of y'all, here it is, have the problem of having to balance your budget in this jacked up economy that we're in. That's a problem. All of us have problems, but I've got to tell you something, beloved. You don't have to let your problem have you. And here's what happens when we don't have the right mental fortitude. Our problems have us, and our problems have us sitting isolated or sitting mobile and not doing anything except for ignoring them and having a pity party by ourselves. We all have problems, but our problems should not have us. Now, Pastor B, that sounds good. I like that. That's quotable. I might do a little tweet about it, whatever. But tell me, how do I deal with that? How do I overcome? How do I get to a place where my problems don't have me? Because if I'm honest, right now, my problems, they winning. Right now, my problems are like, yeah, we got you right where we want you. How do I deal with these problems where they don't have me? I want to give you 4 points, and we're going to say the benediction. And we're going to be gone today. Here's the first thing I want to say. Number one, seek wisdom, not wishes. Seek wisdom and not wishes. And here's what I mean by that. Oftentimes, we just wish our problems away. Not enough to wish your problems away. I'm going to say it this way. Sometimes our prayers sound more like wishes than faith. And the thing is, seek wisdom and not wishes. You know, King Solomon, when he was put in a position to be a king, when he was thrust into this position to kind of, watch this, can you imagine? Like, David is your daddy. David, the one they wrote songs about. Like, they got jams after David, right? David is, you know, David conquered this many and Saul conquered, you know, I mean, David is the man. He's a warrior. He's handsome, right? He was anointed. He's the first king in his own bloodline. And then Solomon, they're like, now Solomon, you next in line. I know you got brothers, but you're next in line. Solomon's got some very big shoes to fill. Am I right? And so Solomon goes before God and he says, God, here it is. I've got a problem. The problem is not that you've made me king. The problem is that you've made me a predecessor of somebody who was an amazing king. And so here's my problem. These people, they love my daddy. They honor my daddy. They reverence my daddy. So God, I don't want money. To solve this problem, give me wisdom. That's what he asked for. Read the scripture. He says, this is what Solomon says. He says, give me wisdom so that I may lead these people well. Because I know what they expected from my daddy. And if I am cut from the same cloth, they expect the same or greater from me. Give me wisdom. I don't want no warriors. I don't want no money. Give me wisdom. Not so that I can be the smartest person in the land. Watch how he asks, so that I can lead these people well. His problem was not that he was king. The problem was that he was serving from a predecessor who was an extraordinary king, who was a very well-respected king, who was a very loved king. So he asked for wisdom, not wishes. He didn't make, oh, I wish this would work out. I wish this could happen. I wish you didn't even make me king. Honestly, I don't even want to deal with this kind of mess. I wish I didn't have these problems. God, I wish you would take, that's how we wish in our prayers. God, I wish you would just take this away. God says, I can't. If I take it away, you won't learn from it. If I take it away, you won't grow from it. I can't. I know you want me to, but will you trust me in this season? Ask me for wisdom and watch how I open up your eyes and see what I'm doing for you. Let's go to some scripture here. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking wisdom. But when you ask him, here it is, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown, tossed by the wind. He says, when you ask, make sure your faith is in God alone. Here's what we do. We ask God, God, give me wisdom. And then we go asking other people for advice. God is like, either you're gonna trust my wisdom or you're gonna trust your friends. Either you're gonna trust my wisdom or you're gonna listen to mama, daddy now. Either you're gonna trust what I'm trying to give you. Notice when Solomon asked, and I know I didn't put the scripture up there, I want y'all to just trust me on this, right? Because I know y'all like, okay, are you gonna put, no, I'm not putting that scripture up there because I would wanna preach that section of the Bible and I'm not doing that today. But listen, just so you know, check it out on your own. When Solomon asked for that wisdom, he never ever sought wisdom from anybody else. He didn't go, watch this, this is so good. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, he didn't go, hey, Dad, David, my king, my father, how should I lead your people? No, he went to God and that was it. And here's what happens with us. We go to God and we go to people. And God says, you have divided loyalty. Do you trust me or do you trust the people? Now, here's the thing. God will send you people, but he didn't tell you to go seek people. If you're seeking wisdom from him, you shouldn't seek people. Let God send you the people. And so here it is. He says, when you ask for wisdom, man, make sure you got hold all your faith in God and God alone. Just him. That's all you need. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, I've got to fix that because people read that wrong. They're like, oh, so because I ask other people, God ain't going to bless me? That's not what the scripture is saying. If you are asking for wisdom from him and you're asking for wisdom from people, guess what? You find yourself in a neutral zone, so you get nothing. Not that he didn't want to give it to you, right? He wants to give it to you, but when you got two things going against each other right there, you are in a neutral zone. You don't get anything because you chose to step outside of the bounds of the agreement. God, I need wisdom, but I'm going to go over here and get some too. I want you to give me some, but let me see who comes first. Either you or my friend, either you or mom, or you or dad, you or pastor. No, he's like, yo, it's either me or nothing at all. And it's not because I don't want to give it to you. It's because there's a battle going on. You have two ears, but one ear, but they only hear one thing at a time. You don't have two ears that isolate what you hear. And he says, you got two ears, but you're only going to listen to one voice. Which one are you going to choose? And that's what he means by such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because you're divided. He says their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Unstable meaning it's imbalanced. That's all it means. You're neutral. Number two, don't be anxious, but be intentional. Don't be anxious, be intentional. How do we not allow our problems to have us? Well, don't be anxious. See, the moment you become anxious, guess what? Your problems got you. The moment you, I can't sleep. This thing is all on my mind. I can't sleep. I don't want to eat. Yeah, that problem owns you. The problem is your boss. The problem is your master. This is why he tells us right here in Scripture, right? Well, watch what Paul says to the church in Philippi, Philippians 4:6. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. But don't forget this part. Thank him for what he's already done. I like that's intentional writing, y'all. Like Paul didn't make a mistake when he put that in there, the thankful part. Because here's the thing. God, here's what I need. Here's what's going on around me. Here's what I need. And the moment you say thank you reminds you that God is real, that God is relevant, that God is faithful. That's why Paul says, and be thankful. It's hard to have a memory loss when you're thankful. It's hard to stay in your state of mind when you're thankful. Matter of fact, I encourage you every single day. We used to do this as a family. We haven't done it in a while. But to write, before you go to bed, write three things that you're thankful for the day. Oh, God, whatever it is. God, thank you for the gas in my car. God, thank you. That was a good meeting. God, thank you that man, I'm healthy today. Or God, thank you for allowing me to get the contract or whatever. Three things every day that you're thankful for. And watch your anxiousness and your anxiety be gone. You can't be thankful and anxious at the same time. Like oil and water, they just don't mix. Because if I'm thankful, then I'm reminded constantly, wait, if God took care of me before, he's not going to stop all of a sudden now. If God brought me through that before, he's going to take care of me now. If God still wakes me up every morning, if God still provides sunlight for me, if God still breathes his oxygen into my lungs, he's not going to stop now. So I thank him for everything he's done and everything that he's doing. Watch this. And thank him for what he's about to do. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has the heart imagined. Like we cannot even imagine what God has in store for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Like, so that means, like, he's got stuff in store. So if I'm thanking him for what he's done and what he's doing, yeah, I'm thanking him for what I haven't even imagined he's getting ready to do for me yet. Watch anxiety leave you. Watch your anxiousness dissipate. Why? Because God is faithful. So don't be anxious. Be intentional. How do I be intentional? Praying every day, just talking to God. Having conversation. And here's the thing. It's funny that Paul says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's the part that gets me. Tell God what you need. But I thought he provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory in heaven. He does. God knows what you need. But sometimes he just wants you to ask. Because sometimes that's the only time you talk to God is when you're in need. He just wants you to ask. See, God knows what you need. Like he knew Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned and they were in the Garden of Eden, this is funny to me. Adam tried to hide him and Eve. Y'all remember that? They were naked. They discovered they were naked. They're like, let's hide from God. I bet you he won't see us if we hide under here. And God was like, okay, let me just play this little game. Adam, where are you? Adam. God knew exactly where he was. He said, I'm going to play a little game. Adam, where are you? I don't see you. Right? He knew it, but it's the same thing with us. He knows what we need, but he's like, just tell me. And you know why he wants you to ask? Because when you ask and he gives you what you ask for, guess what? Your faith in him, your belief in him, your trust in him increases. It's almost like, God, here's what I need. And God says, okay, I already knew that, but since you asked, and you're still struggling with your belief in our relationship, watch this. I'm going to give it to you so now you never have to doubt me again. So when we ask and then he does exactly what we say, now it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to keep doing this. He wants you to ask so you can see his blessings revealed in your life in real time. Number three, when you feel powerless, trust your powerless. I love that. That was kind of dope. When I wrote it, I was like, that's kind of dope, God. I like that. Maybe they'll tweet that or something. I mean, not tweet. What do they call it now? Whatever it is called. exit or whatever, yeah. No, but seriously, when you feel powerless, meaning when you feel weak, trust in your powerless. Oftentimes, when we feel weak, we try harder, and it makes things worse. I almost said worser, but I got English teachers here and math teachers here and professors, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But seriously, it makes things worse when you try harder in your weak stage and you try to figure stuff out. How many have ever done that? Like, I've done that. Like, I've tried to figure stuff out on my own, and I made the situation worse than it was when it started. And she's like, yes. Come on. I got some amens online, I'm sure, too. But this is a perfect time when you are weak. Watch this. Can I share with you how great God is and the Holy Spirit? Watch this. Romans 8, 26 through 28. And the Holy Spirit helps us when we are very strong. Right? No. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, he gives an example. This is how crazy it is. When we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Wait a minute now. Like, when I don't even know what to pray, God literally prays to himself on my behalf? That's crazy. But that's what he's saying. He said, just show up to the altar. God, I have no words. I just have pain. God is like, I know. I got you. And all of a sudden, God is starting to speak to himself for you just to make sure you don't miss out. It's surrender. When you feel powerless, use your power less. Trust your power less. When you feel powerless, trust what you can do on your own less, because what you do is exasperate the problem. Follow the work and the prompting and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Show up to the altar some days, just like, God, I'm weak. I have no words, but I'm here in your presence. God, I'm broken. I'm not myself, but I'm here in your presence. God, I'm hurt right now. I have nothing to say. I don't have a song for you. Do you realize that God sings songs to us according to the prophetic book of Zephaniah? Bible says that he sings songs to us. So, God, I don't even have a worship in me. God is like, I got you, baby. And he starts singing a sweet lullaby to you to comfort you in your time of need and your time of grief. That's how good our God is, and that's how much he loves us. He said, when you are powerless, trust in your power less, but trust in my power more. I am all powerful. Finally, number four, I'm about to upset the kids zone. This is my final point. They probably in the middle of a lesson right now, and y'all about to go down there and get y'all babies in. It is what it is. Number four, rely on his will, not your skills. How do we get away from our problems? Here it is. How do we get away from our problem having us? Rely on his will, not your skills. Be honest with you. Some of y'all, I mean, we got doctors in here. We've got educators. We have an educator who like ran an entire school district or system, I believe, for the state. Your husband, right? Mr. Mitchell? Something like that? Yeah, one time. We got some incredibly smart people. We got Jason. Okay, but so. I got to mess with Jason. He's like my little brother. Very skilled people, very experienced. We got people in this room who've gone through a lot and survived that I believe with the right skills can help you overcome anything. But I would trust God's will more than I would trust their skill. Fact. Because here it is. God's will, perfect. Man's skills are not. I don't care how many degrees you got on your wall. I don't care how many letters are behind your name. God's will is perfect. Your skills are not. You can make a mistake from your skill. One mistake is all it takes. God's will is flawless. Rely on his will, not your skills. I know you can fix the problem. I know you can solve the problem yourself. I know some of y'all have the IQ of a genius, but it's nothing compared to his will. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, written by the wisest man ever to walk this earth, Solomon, he says this: seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek God's will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. God, I got a problem that needs solving. Okay, instead of asking God to solve it, God, what is your will for me in this season? Because maybe God doesn't want you to solve the problem. Maybe God wants you to fix the problem. Maybe sometimes you're in the problem because you are the answer to the problem. You are the answer to the problem. But you've got to seek his will. See, there's things you got to understand about God that's still hard for me to accept sometimes. And here it is. You've got to understand what God ordains and what God allows. See, there are some things in our lives that God orchestrates and sets up and has designed for us to experience. There are some things that God, the Bible says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered, meaning there are some things that God has set in place for us to go through. Those are the things that God ordained. But then there are some things in our lives that God allows. Like, it wasn't part of God's plan, but God is like, I'm going to work this to my advantage. I'm going to work their grief to my advantage. I'm going to work their suffering to my advantage. I'm going to work their heartache to my... There are some things that God allows us to go through because it does two things. Ready? It gives God glory, and it grows us in our faith spiritually. Anybody ever been through something and didn't come out wiser after? I didn't see any hands go up. Anybody ever been through something and didn't come out stronger after? Anybody ever go through something and didn't come out smarter after? I mean, come on. If you went through some heartache, somebody broke your heart in a romantic relationship, did you not come out of that with a new list like, okay, I'm not going to allow that to happen again? I bet I see that kind of person coming a mile away. Anybody ever? Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Anybody ever go through something traumatic and not learn from it? As I said to my leadership team today before we started service, I said, in life, we never lose. We always learn. In life, we never lose. We always learn. And so sometimes God allows us to go through some things. Watch this. Because there's something that God knows that we need from the thing that we're going through. And he gets something out of it. There's always growth in our suffering. There's always growth from our sorrow. There's always growth from our sadness. There's always something God gets out of what we deem as bad situations. But because we serve a God who is good, God makes everything good, even what we think is bad. But it requires wisdom. It requires us relying on his will, not our skill. And I know some of y'all are professional problem solvers. You're professional. That's what you do for a living. I'm a project manager. Where are my project managers at? That's all y'all do is solve problems. That's why they make you the manager of a project. Sometimes the project are people. Sometimes the project is you. Sometimes you are the project. There's a book that I read recently, and it's called the mountain is you. Sometimes problems we need to solve is not a situation, not an event, not a problem. Sometimes a problem you have to solve is you. Sometimes you just change your perspective, it solves everything around you. Sometimes if you just change your focus, it fixes everything around you. Sometimes if you just look in the mirror and just and look at yourself and say, you know what? It's not my spouse. It's not my coworker. It's not them kids. Well, maybe it is the kids. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, maybe it's me. And here's what I mean by that. It's not that you're the problem, but it's that you have the power over the problem. And I'm going to close by saying this. We cannot control what happens around us. And I'll say this. Sometimes we can't control what happens to us. But you know, we absolutely have complete control of how we respond. We always have control to how we respond. We always have control to how we respond to bad news about our health. We always have control on how we respond to bad people in our lives. Come on. We always have control on how we respond to bad situations in the media. We have absolute power over those things. And that sometimes is how we get to solve our problems. It's changing how we see the problem in front of us, because not every problem is an obstacle. Some problems are opportunities. Amen? Amen. That's all I got.
Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that Pastor B said something that moves you closer to Jesus. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, we would like to invite you to follow us on social media at Mosaic Mableton and visit us at our website at wearemosaicchurch.org. You can learn more information about our church, ways to support our ministry through financial donations, stay updated on upcoming events, and find resources to support your spiritual journey. We would be delighted to welcome you in person on Sunday mornings to worship and connect with others. Our doors are always open to those seeking a place to grow and explore their faith. Thanks for tuning in, and may God bless you on your spiritual journey.